everyone, it's Fahan, and you're listening to the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. Hope everybody's feeling good, ready to start your Friday. Alhamdulillah, it's Jumma today, and we're here to recreate, in podcast form, what happened last year at my local mosque sister's circle, where a few of us got together and I was able to run a session on all things halal personal finance. Whether it had to do with budgeting, halal investing, pensions, we covered all of it. And at the end of the session, I asked my sisters to leave me with what further questions they had so that I could cover it with you in podcast form. So thanks so much for joining me, and let's get started. So thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about credit scores. Now, the question this week asks, other than for mortgage, what is a credit score used for? Now, in this episode, I'm going to go through the practical ways in which you can check what your credit score is in the UK. But intuitively, when we think about a good credit score, what comes to mind might be that you can get better credit cards or you can qualify for a bigger mortgage. But in reality, I like to say that, you know, if you don't have a credit card, you don't want to get one. And if you do have one, you want to make sure that you only have one and you want to keep the use of it as low as possible. But nevertheless, credit scores can be helpful. I like to say that they help keep the house in order. And why is that? It allows you to find out everything that you need to know about yourself that's on the system. It helps you correct any information that might be wrong, any name that is spelled incorrectly, any address that's got the wrong dates. And it can also help, especially for young people, it can help you avoid having what's called thin credit, meaning that there's like virtually no information about you in the system, because that could also be bad. But in the end, it is really just about making sure that you have the same set of information as banks, insurance companies, other institutions have on you, because you do have the right to the same level of information. So if you've never looked at your credit score, that in of itself, let that be motivating enough to take a look. So what are we going to talk about in this episode? So first, we're going to go into the detail about what exactly makes up a credit score. Second, how is that you can check your credit score on the three credit reference agencies that there are in the UK, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And then what is it actually used for? So why should we bother knowing what's on our credit score? So to begin, what are credit scores? Now, thinking about credit scores purely theoretically, what are they as a tool? We know that there are two people involved. There's us, the consumer, and then there is the other party. So it could be any type of institution. It could be a bank, it could be an insurance company, it could be anyone. That we're the ones that are asking them to make some type of commitment towards us, whether that they're trying to make a decision about whether or not they should go into business with us. Now, the economist by the name of Stiglitz, he pioneered the theory of screening. It's useful to think about credit scores and screening together, because that's effectively what is happening. You have an underinformed party, which is, let's say, the insurance company that's deciding whether or not to give us house insurance, for instance, and they want to induce us to provide relevant information. So they could do that via an application form, which is perfect. They might ask us as many questions as they want in the application form, and that will help them decide whether or not to grant us whatever it is that we're after. Now, why is it therefore useful to have what's called credit reference agencies? So these are the companies that provide all this aggregated information, is because you could see how that could be good for business, because it allows us to signal to them that we are who we say we are and that we have a good track record and that they can feel comfortable going into business with us. You can see how that is very useful, but because the credit reference agencies are giving the companies the assurance that they're able to give them all this information that we might know about ourselves that they might not know, so that they can feel like we're on the same level playing field. Now, it's quite odd to think of it that way, because we typically, if you personally don't know what your credit score is, you might not even know what information that they're basing their decision on. And equally, if you cannot be sure that what's on your credit score is correct, that could have a doubly negative impact, of course. But let's assume that you know everything that's on your credit score. You could see how there's an imbalance of information between the person that's saying that they're going to insure your house without them knowing anything about you. So credit reference agencies are there to effectively induce that information from us, screen for all of our behavior and all of the ways that we all be information that they need to know about us to make this economic decision, and they give that to the under-informed party, in this case, the company. Now, what is inside a credit score? So a credit score is a composite index, which means it comes up with a number that is based off of a range of different information. So based on a range of information, they standardize it into a number. And the purpose of having this number is all with the view of finding out something that they can't possibly know, which is how you will behave in the future. So the big assumption here is, and you can see how intuitively that makes sense, if it turns out that someone never pays someone back, they could use that credit history, that they could see that history as indicative of how they might behave in the future. Now, this is all done with the view of finding out how someone will behave in the future. So the assumption here is that the credit's history acts like a track record and vouches for how you might behave in the future. So I said that it is a range of information. Now, what is useful to know is, what does this range of information that's included serving a purpose for? So in my mind, I split this into two. So yes, most times when credit scores are required is because someone wants to take on some type of debt. That's why the question itself asked, other than a mortgage, what is a credit score used for? So mortgages would also fall into the same bracket as someone who might lease a car. So you're borrowing money and paying it back in monthly installments. Similarly, if you lease anything, including mobile phones, anything where there is a lease contract involved, credit scores are also obviously involved, because they need to know whether this person's going to pay back the money that they borrowed. Now, that means, you know, if you're someone who's trying to optimize your credit score, if you borrow from a lot of different people and you pay all of them back, they're obviously going to say, oh, this person's great. If we need to lend the money, we know that we're going to get the money back. We can then think, well, maybe borrowing from a lot of people, leasing a lot of things itself might not be good for your finances. So that is when you might start to think, okay, optimizing your credit score isn't just for the purpose of wanting to borrow as much as you can. So if we put the debt piece to one side, then there's also things like bills. So the way that you pay back utility bills, broadband bills, phone bills, water bills, all of that, which is effectively something that you're using pay as you go, you know, you do enter into a contract for it. So I would put direct debits to one side too. And the last part is all about identity. So this includes addresses, it includes whether or not you are a registered voter, also includes if we've had any legal action against us related to finances. So this includes bankruptcies and that type of stuff. So it's useful to think, okay, so credit scores have a range of information. I won't list them all out, but it is important to realize that all of these, you know, they have to be legal. Like, the credit scores are not meant to be a form of discrimination. The information that they're capturing has to be linked to things that can inform the other party on how you might behave in a financial transaction. And so, yes, most of it is linked to the contracts that you have. So particularly with your regular bills, but also includes your credit card and any other things that you might lease. And then the last bit is also your identity. It's about knowing that you are who you say you are. So if we ask you, where did you live? If it asks you, where did you live 5 years ago? You've said the same thing to everybody who's ever asked you in any application. And I feel like it's useful to, you know, go into more detail about what exactly is included in credit scores, simply because you can see how there could be a lot of misunderstandings or assumptions being made about what does or what doesn't count towards your credit score, and what does a good credit score mean. I like to, in my mind, break it up into three chunks. One big part of it is, do you pay back your debts? The other big part of it is, do you have regular accounts in the places where you say that you lived, and you pay those service providers on time regularly? And then the third part is about your identity. Do you say you are who you say you are whenever you're asked formally? So do the credit reference agencies have consistent information about you? So the idea of consistency and timeliness, track record, all of these things are things that are positive for your credit score, which convinced me that it's a useful tool to pay attention to. Even if you're not someone who needs to take out a big mortgage or someone who uses credit cards. So you could see how this is a very useful tool, or a useful screening tool, someone who's trying to assess you for whatever service. So that was just an introduction about what credit scores are and what type of information is included inside credit scores. Now the second question is effectively, how is it that we can then check it? The reason I say that it's important to check it is because if this tool was invented so that it could help someone who knows nothing about us find out about us, how is it that today it ends up being that we might not have easy access to our own credit score? Having easy access to your own credit score allows you to also know everything that they know about you, and that you agree that what's on your credit score is in fact correct and you're happy with it, because there are ways to correct it if you're not. And so yeah, over the years it's been a bit obscured, but yes, you can take the power back. So how do we do that? There are three major credit agencies in the UK. They're called Experian and Equifax. Those two are the largest one. The third is called TransUnion. Now, these credit reference agencies are the ones that lenders and companies use to get the information from you. You can go directly to those websites and pay to get your credit score. But there are also other agencies that work just to provide people with their credit score, their full credit report, based off of those credit agencies. I hope that doesn't sound too convoluted, but effectively, I mentioned how we have the three major credit agencies. You can go to each one, but it will come with a fee, a regular fee, to access your credit report. Now, with Experian, it's the largest one. There's no other company that allows you to have access to your credit report for free based on Experian information. But if you've never looked at your Experian credit report, you can actually get the free trial and in the first 30 days, see what's on your Experian credit report. Whilst the other two, Equifax is another major one, there is a company called clearscore.com that you can sign up for free, and you're able to see what your credit score is, and that score is based off of the information that Equifax has on you. Now, it is of course useful to check all three, but if you had to start somewhere, I would start with the Equifax one, also the Experian one, because those two are the two major credit reference agencies that you could use to check your credit report. The last one is called TransUnion, and there's a company called Credit Karma with a K, Credit Karma, that also allows you to have access to your credit report, and that will be based off of the information that TransUnion has. Now, at this point, I want to mention the difference between a soft search and a hard search on your credit score. Now, a hard search is applied to your credit score. For instance, you applied for a credit card. If the act of applying for a credit card can, and actually going through with it and getting the credit card, acts as a hard search on your file. I would imagine the same thing if you had to lease a car. If you make a mortgage application in full, that becomes a hard search. There is also what's called a soft search. So that's when you're just trying to check whether you're eligible for something. I would imagine that counts as a soft search. But the reason why I mentioned soft searches is that you yourself going to ClearScore or going to Credit Karma to check your credit score acts as a soft search on your file. And why is there a difference? It's because a lot of hard searches on your file sends the message that you're someone who applies for credit a lot, meaning you're someone who needs to borrow a lot of money. And if you are aware of that, you might feel like, oh, that means I shouldn't check my credit score. Absolutely not. Going on clearscore.com or going on Credit Karma to check your Equifax score or your TransUnion score acts as a soft search. And just to summarize, you can go on experian.com directly and get the free trial to just pull up your Experian credit score for the first time. And then the next thing to know is, how long does your credit score actually stay with you? So if today we're in 2024, information prior to 2018 no longer shows up on the credit report. So whilst a missed payment in the past will negatively impact your credit score, if that missed payment was more than 6 years ago, it wouldn't. So that's why it's good to keep an eye on your credit score. It's not something that stays with you for life. It is something, information that refreshes every 6 years. So if you're starting today to pay attention to it, that in of itself can be hugely valuable going forward. And that kind of brings me to the last part, which is, if you're not someone who's applying for a mortgage today, why should you check your credit score? Now, I like to think about it as general housekeeping. It can avoid surprises, which can be quite damaging. If you're ever at a point where you get denied because of your credit score, and it's because you had no clue about a mistake that was on your credit file, you could see how that could be a problem. But in principle, I think about it as ensuring that everything is in order, and also to avoid what I mentioned a bit earlier in the episode, where you feel like lenders and other institutions have more information about you than you do about yourself. You could see how that can be very problematic. So whilst we might ignore the borrowing money aspect of what the credit score tells us, what the credit score also includes is things like, are your addresses up to date? Do they match the dates that should be matched? And are you aware of those dates? And are you giving those consistent dates anywhere that you ever have to apply and give that kind of information? B is, are you registered on the electoral register at your current address? Having your current address match the electoral register when you're making the application for anything, you can see how that is a very good signal. Third is also, you can use it to check that any account that you closed was properly closed and you don't have any accounts open that you don't remember or thought you had closed but didn't. And fourth, which is very important, is to make sure your name is correct on all the bills and all the information. That was one thing I noticed when I first checked my credit score. Yeah. My surname was spelt incorrectly. I had like a middle name that I didn't actually have on one of the files, and I had to check. I needed to fix that. If you are someone who has a credit card, your credit report is effectively checking responsible usage of credit cards. So a big thing that motivated me to stop using my credit card is the fact that even the way you use your credit card is important. And what's important is that you keep your credit card usage as low as possible. Ideally, 30% of your full limit. That is called your credit utilization rate. So if you're someone who needs a credit card for £500 a month to cover your general spend or whatever, to have responsible usage of that credit card, your credit card limit should be at least £1,500. Because if you always pay your credit card in full, £500 every month, on your credit report, it will show as you having to need 100% of the credit that is available to you, right? Instead, if you had a limit of 10,000 and you only need used 500, that would be a better signal to the credit reference agencies. So that's useful to think about. And then in a more serious case, if there was ever a case where you were the victim of identity theft, a good way to check that is if you recognize everything that's on your credit report. Now, that's how I think about using your credit report. It's a way to correct wrong information. It's not so much about trying to boost your score. It's more about ensuring that the information that's on there is correct. If you're someone who's just starting out, or you might also think about having your credit score also be a signal of what information there is on you. Now, most of us will have information, but the reality is that if you're not registered to vote all the time, it's good to get registered to vote and stay on the electoral register at all the addresses that you have. And equally, if you're part of a household, having all the adults' name on the regular bills, it can benefit other people's credit report as well. So you could see how checking your credit report might be a source of ideas for you. It will tell you, oh, I'm actually not on the electoral register. It will tell you, oh, I don't have any bills to my name, that kind of stuff. So I looked at my Clear score while I was preparing for this episode to try to see if I could spot other things that are not necessarily related to having credit cards or having loans that are related to your credit report. One of them is keeping your hard searches low, which I briefly mentioned, which is to not apply for credit when you don't need it. Keep that low. A lot of this has to do with responsible usage of credit cards, so not using your credit card to withdraw cash, that is very bad for your credit score. Maintaining yourself on the electoral register is important. Any payment that you have to make, making sure that that's on a direct debit and that's on time is important. Then it also screens for things like whether there are any debt collector searches, if you've made use of any payday loans, and or if you're in default on any of your accounts. It checks whether there are any legal actions related to finance against you. So I find that it can be a good starting point for any kind of general check on your finances. It's also a good place to get some quick wins. If you find out that there are some things on your credit report that actually need fixing, you'll be pleased that you did this today rather than before you needed it. And it's also quite nice to see progress, feeling like you're actually taking things off a list that you wanted to check, but maybe you didn't know how to go about it. But you could easily check your credit score today by going on clearscore.com to check the one of Equifax, which is one of the two largest ones. Equally, you could go on Experian directly and download it via the free trial. And to do all three, you can go on creditkarma.com, Credit Karma with a K, and check your TransUnion score. I hope this episode was helpful to demystify some things about credit scores. A website I use to look up all of this stuff is moneysavingexpert.com. They have a lot of useful information, especially about what is and what isn't included in a credit report. But if you are interested to find out more, do check out moneysavingexpert.com. It's an impartial website that has a lot of interesting information. If you're otherwise interested in the topic of credit scores from a more philosophical lens, do check out the work of The Economist, Joseph Stiglitz, and all kinds of screening mechanisms that exist, and how banks, insurance businesses, and even education systems use those to their advantage. So thanks so much for joining me. This has been the NISA Invest Tea Talk podcast. I will see you next June. Bye for now.